Praise the Lord. God is so good. I praise him for it. Every day when I rise from my bed, I think this could be the day that Jesus could come. When I go to bed at night, I think this could be the night that I'll be awakened and go to be with the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful? All of us should look forward to the coming of Jesus at any moment. He is coming soon. We just see it in the world around us. This way that all the stuff is going in the United States, just strange things happening, aren't there? So we need to be in prayer all the time. The Lord will help us to be overcomers and walk with God and yield to God. Praise the Lord. The message that the Lord brought to my mind today is we are God's workmanship. That doesn't mean we're supposed to go out and work for God. It means that God is working in us. He's working in us. And when we think of a workmanship thing, we think of someone who has made something very beautiful, like a beautiful house or a beautiful business building or high big tower or something. We say, this is their workmanship. This is what they have done. And so it's the same way with our Lord. Let's turn in Ephesians, the second chapter today, and we're going to look at some verses about how God is working in our lives. He's patient, too. He's very patient. Praise the Lord. We are his workmanship. What does that mean? We're going to find that in verse 10, but we're going to read before that. But to see God's workmanship in the Greek, it means his product. Okay, what is being produced as God's work, what he has done? What's going to be seen in the end of time? That work that has been done in individual people who have walked with God, it's a product. And it also means a fine work. So it's not just any old thing. It's not like I can make a pot. I used to make pots and things out of clay when I worked for a big nursing home where I was an activity person. But I never did learn to make pots on the wheel. But I did learn to make coil pots and was able to help some of the handicapped people there to have something to do where they would be creating something. And that's the Lord, though. He's not making a crack pot. A lot of us are crackpots, but he isn't making a crackpot. He's making a beautiful vessel out of each of us as we go through the trials and tests. And we don't like the trials and the tests, but we learn as we go along that all things are going to work together for our good somehow. And that, in my life, has been what God has done many, many times, shown me the way because of the losses that I've had, you know, just thinking, oh, Lord, how can I stand this, you know, and then for him to just come in and give victory. So let's begin reading in Ephesians 2, verse 1. You hath he quickened, that word means to make alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience, speaking about the followers of Satan, they are Satan's children. They are disobeyed the word of God as far as being born again, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. See, Paul is saying, before we were born again, this is where we were. We were there. Our conversation, that word means our conduct or lifestyle, was one at one time in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When it says the children of wrath there, it means the children of judgment, that judgment was going to come upon us, the wrath of God. But we were born again, and we become a new creation. We were by nature, the old nature, the children of wrath, but now we are the children of God. Praise the Lord. So, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great mercy wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened, And that word means to make alive. So God has made us alive in Christ. He's given us a new life in our very being right here. We have the life of Christ right here in us, the Spirit of the Lord. Great, isn't it wonderful? God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ. And then he adds, by grace are you saved. It's not by works. He plainly says in other places, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us. So we're not saved by the works, by doing works. We're saved by the grace of God. Verse 6, he's raised us up together, and he's made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, the people of God are going to be set on display of what his grace and his mercy can bring about. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We don't desire that. We want to be of those who cast our crowns down at Jesus' feet and say, you are worthy. You alone are worthy. And it isn't any worthiness of our own that we're going to amount to anything spiritually. It's the mercy of God, the grace of God. In these ages that will come on later in our time here as we roll on into the tribulation and the millennial reign, and it's all through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Very plain, very plain. We didn't gain our salvation through any kind of goodness of our own. We didn't keep our salvation. We do not have to try to keep our salvation, do we? Because it's all by the grace of God, his gift to us. Not of works, lest we should boast. And I have in my lifetime heard people boast about how long they've been saved. One man, when I was a child, got up and he said, I've been saved 10 times, or whatever it was. It was an enormous number. And I've been filled with the Holy Spirit 10 different times. So he thought he was keeping himself saved all the time and trying to keep the Holy Spirit in his life, not dependent on Christ. And notice what it says now in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I just got through saying that we're not saved by works. But once we have come into this new life realm, and we are now God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, then we have been ordained to walk with God, to walk in these beautiful things. Now notice that word workmanship. Praise the Lord. It speaks of a product or a poem or a fine work that God does. All of us have seen paintings. We're seeing a man's painting right now sometimes on the news, and it's okay, but I really don't like that type of painting. I like scenery. I like things like that better. But anyway, God is looking down at us, and he's working. He's done a great work already, and he is continuing to do this work. It is his divine product, not our holding our breath and saying, I will not do that again, I will not do that again. That does not work. We will fail every time if we try to go in our own strength. But we have been created in Christ. The new creation, it's what the Bible calls those believers that know Christ, come to know Christ. We're a new creation. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That comes from that new life that he's given us. We're going to walk in the Spirit if we yield to God. He's going to give us that. It's not ourselves. We're not able to do it. And I won't ask a show of hands, but I know that if I ask you how many of you can do it all by yourself, I'm sure nobody would raise your hand here. Because we learn, don't we, through experience. So being born again is what makes us a new creation, in that we're now going to turn to the verse, 1 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that beautiful? We are a new creation in Christ. We do have a battle with the fleshly nature, and we do learn to walk in the Spirit and let the new life, this new creation life, govern us and guide us all the way through. So after we're born again, what then? Our salvation from God begins with a new life, and then he begins his work in us to change us. Praise the Lord. Let's look now in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. We read some more about this work that God is doing. Verse 17 and 18 of the third chapter of Corinthians. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We've been set free. We're set free from sin. We're set free from the Satan's any power. He doesn't have any power over us. Praise the Lord. We are set free. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now the word change there is a good word. I love it. Metamorphosis. The poor old larvae worm thing, he has no power to change himself. God has instituted that power, isn't he? And so he puts himself in a cocoon, and one of these days the cocoon breaks open because the work has been done inwardly. See, this, the work on the cocoon is in, I started to say raccoon. The work on the cocoon is inward, and that's the way it is with us. We may look like a worm to everybody else. We may not have favor with other people like we'd like, maybe, but God sees us in our condition, and he puts us in his little cocoon of safety and preparedness, and we yield to him, and one of these days it's going to burst open, and we're going to be changed into the same image. What does that mean? The same image as God has. We're going to become glorified human beings. We'll be able to walk through walls like Jesus did after his resurrection. I'm sure that's not what I'm interested in doing, though. And you either, you get to heaven, you're not thinking about, oh, now I can walk through walls. Because we'll be so busy worshiping and praising the Lord. So we've been metamorphosed into the same image as Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does it mean, from glory to glory? Well, possibly, if we were born 10 years ago, born again, I'm talking about, or if we were born again umpteen years ago, how about 75 years ago? That's when I was born. In fact, it would be 76 years ago. I was born again 76 years ago when I was 5 years old. The Lord worked in my life as a child. And I was filled with the Spirit when I was 8 years old, just by myself praying. And the Holy Spirit just came upon me. But I have been changed over the years. It didn't all happen at one time. It happened through my lifetime. And that's the way it is with you. You might look at yourself and you think, well, I'm sure not what God wants me to be. Well, just let him do it. Yield your life, and he's going to change you from glory to glory. What does that mean, glory to glory? I think that means his recognition of what is happening in our life by blessing us. He gives us glory. He gives us strength. And then here's another time, and we are overcoming and walking with God, and he blesses us some more. He just keeps on working and giving us glory from glory to glory. And, of course, it's from one image. Say, first maybe a small understanding of Christ, and then a deeper, and then a deeper, and then a deeper, and a deeper. That's what we have in the Lord. We never outgrow studying the Word of God. We can't say, oh, I know it all now. I've studied for all these years. I know everything. No, I think that because of our human mind being so limited, all of us forget things, don't we? And then we can hear another message, maybe on the same thing we heard last week. And it's like it's new because we have not learned everything. But notice that last phrase, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And that is surely true, that it takes the Holy Spirit's power to work in our lives to change us from one glory to another glory. Praise the Lord. From glory to glory. And of course, we believe in ranks in the resurrection. And probably when we started out, we were probably in the great multitude. But hopefully now with the Lord dealing with our life over a period of time, we're growing in Christ and we'll be in the bride of Christ, which is another glory, isn't it? In the Amplified Version here, where it says from glory to glory, it has an ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. I thought that was beautiful. An ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. We've all gone through a lot of trials in our lives. Some who are older have gone through a lot of trials in their life. But it's God's working. God is working. God is working to draw us into that infinite place of full fellowship and yieldedness to God and being made ready for the coming of Jesus. Now we're going to turn to Romans 12, a verse that I hope each of you can just quote. I know I've spoke on it enough times. And Paul here in verse 1 and 2 of Romans 12. He says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, that means to exhort, to implore, and to beg in the Greek. He was begging them, do this. This is what you need to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just your reasonable service. Think of all that Christ did for us on the cross. Isn't it reasonable that we as believers then would give our bodies over to the will of God and to letting him work to present or to offer our bodies as a willing sacrifice, as a living sacrifice? Your body's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Praise the Lord. That's so beautiful. Holy, like the life of Christ manifest in us, blameless and consecrated. That's what that means, blameless and consecrated, holy, yielding to God. And the word acceptable is not a word that is lesser. It is very important. In the Greek, it means fully agreeable, well-pleasing. And in the parable that Jesus told about giving the 5 talents to one man and the 2 talents to another man and, you know, so forth, the 10 talents, 5 and 2, I think it was. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And so it's well-pleasing, see, for them to do what he asked them to do, to multiply their talent, some kind of money, actually, not talent to sing or something like that. But in that parable. But so it is well-pleasing to God for us to give ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. And then in verse 2, be not conformed, and the word means to be molded to this world. This world has a lot of stuff, doesn't it? My goodness, anymore, anything goes. I was just amazed this last week about the boy that claimed to be both sexes or something, went in the girl's bathroom and raped a girl in school. Just ridiculous, you know. This is the world we're living in. This world is ready for deliverance, for judgment. I believe it. I believe that the Lord is going to come at any time. And so he says, don't be like the world. Don't be conformed or changed in that again, but be transformed. The word transformed is the word metamorphosis again. So how do we become transformed? It tells us, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind? You're not talking about just thinking, about 2 and 2 is 4 or something like that. He's talking about a spiritual change in our mind. How is that? By hearing the Word of God. By not just waiting for Sunday to hear the message, but at home, read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Pray before the Lord. Say, reveal this to me, Lord. That's the Word of God that is our food that's going to change us. Like we read a while ago, changing us from one degree of glory to another. Praise the Lord. The Word of God causes us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So our part is to yield and surrender. That's hard sometimes. But his part then is to work by the Holy Spirit's power. And he's doing that. Glory to God. He is a good workman. Now let's look over in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19 and 20. I think I read this verse pretty often. No, this is not the one I read pretty often. But anyway, we'll get to that one in a moment. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Wonder what Paul meant by that. What? Like, can't you realize this? What is going on with you? Maybe he's thinking that. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. Praise the Lord. And you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. Bring the glory to God by walking in the Spirit and yielding your life to Christ. Because why? Because we're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. I can't just make up my decision and say, well, that's what I want to do, so I'm going to do that. Regardless of what the Lord says or the scripture says, but praise the Lord, I've been bought with a price. Therefore, that new life of Christ that I have within me makes me want to glorify God. Praise, all the praise and the worship go back to our God who has done this work in us. Praise the Lord, in our body, which is the vehicle of the new life. We have a new life in Christ, but our body hadn't been changed yet. But this body can be the yielded vessel, as we read there in Romans 12:1. Yield yourselves unto God. Yield this body to God. And let that Lord Jesus Christ, that glory of God, come out through our body and our spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So glory to God. He's so good. We are bought with a price. Let's go back over to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at 4th chapter. This is the one that this scripture I love really well, so I think you hear it maybe every third or fourth Sunday. I love this scripture. Beginning in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we're going to be reading with verse 14. Now it says there's something again that Paul wants us to know, and when he says he's speaking about God the Father. He says, knowing that he, God the Father, which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's what the Lord's going to do one of these days, is raise us up from our maybe in the grave, or if we are alive when Jesus comes, he's going to change us into his image, and we will ascend into the heavens. All things are for your sake, for our victory over everything. These all things, they're kind of hard sometimes. All things, like Paul says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I think all of you know what all things are. And sometimes it's pretty hard. Therefore, our sake, though, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, and the word means to superabound, to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So the trials come, and they're really hard, all the old things that we might endure. But what is there to help us? The abundant grace. Praise the Lord. What God has provided for us in this condition. Then going on in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I took a little line and I drew it from under light affliction down to weight of glory, which is the greatest. The affliction we are in, Paul says, and think of Apostle Paul, what he went through to say that it's light affliction. We had in our Sunday school class, you know, Paul left dead, out stoned to death, Paul thrown into the dungeon, all things. And yet he says it's a light affliction, which is far more, there's far more this working of God of this exceeding eternal way to glory. There's not going to be any comparison of what we have gone through. None of us are going to stand before the Lord and say, now, Lord, did you remember that time when I lost so-and-so and this happened and I went through this trial? We won't be doing that at all. He will reward us for what we have, how much we've yielded, how much we've really let him do this work in us. And notice there, he says, our light affliction is but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while. The word while. In other words, at a time when we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, are just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. I thought of that little kid song that I don't know if our children sing now, but it's he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, for he's still working on me. Glory to God. So, praise the Lord. God asks of us yieldedness, submission, and obedience to his word. He's committed us to this work of restoration and renovation. He's going to change us, isn't he? In Philippians 1:6, it says, be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The good work that he has begun. He doesn't do anything but good work. Isn't that beautiful? He's going to complete or finish it. And in chapter 2, verse 13, it says there, it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And how about Romans 8:28, I mentioned it a while ago. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. That's an important verse. I wish everybody would memorize that verse for sure. Because I know the trials of my life, there have been many times that I've said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand this, Lord. Why? But he's reminded me that as he works through all of these trials and tests, he's bringing about what he wants in me. He wants me to be yielded to be accepting his will, to accept what he does, and realize that he is going to be faithful in all things. Praise the Lord. Let's turn one more scripture, and then we're going to close. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And these are verses that it seems like you might think, well, what she preaches on that a lot. But they are such important verses. And this is in chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Notice this. And the very God of peace. You know, there are different things that are said about peace. The God of peace, the peace of God, the peace with God. The God of peace here, that's who he is. Sanctify you wholly. That means set you apart unto God and make you holy. That's the life of Christ in us, that he works all of these things. So, you know, I'm sure that probably everybody here at one time has said, Lord, make me like Jesus. Help me to be like Jesus. So the very God of peace will work in our lives wholly. And that W-H-O-L-L-Y, of course, that's not H-O-L-Y. He's doing a holy work. He really is. But holy means completely in every area. And we may think, okay, you know, I've got that. I've got that, Lord. I'm fine. No. Here's another little area that God's going to work in here. He's going to bring us about this about in our lives. And then he says, the whole spirit, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Praise the Lord. Our spirit, soul, and body, God is working in all the parts of our lives to make us ready for his coming. He preserves us blameless. Oh, praise the Lord. Until he comes back again, that word coming, the parousia, when we hear that trumpet, and we're going to hear him call, come up here, and we're just going to sail away. I can hardly wait. I really feel it's closer and closer and closer all the time. His coming is very, very near. Glory to God. Hallelujah.